Now to your microbiome. That's the word that refers to the hordes of bacteria that live in and on you, and it's extremely important. These bugs affect your health and even your personality. However, in the Western world, we're missing some diversity. In fact, compared to traditional non-industrialized tribes and populations, we have about a third fewer different species of microbe living in our intestines. Theories why range from antibiotic use to cleaner living, but a new study this week has provided evidence that at least some of it could be down to our diet. Georgia Mills has been shedding some light where, well, the sun doesn't usually shine, beginning with the study's co-author, Erica Sonnenberg, who's from Stanford Medical School.
In our study, we really wanted to look at the effect of diet, and particularly dietary fiber. If you look at these traditional populations, they consume an amount of dietary fiber that far surpasses what we consume in the West, something like almost 10 times as much. And we know that dietary fiber are really the major currency within our gut. This is the food that our bacteria use to, you know, become more abundant in the gut. And so we wondered, if you starve your microbes of dietary fiber, what does that mean for that community? And we think that this may be potentially one of the reasons why our microbiota is so much less diverse than what we see in these high fiber eating traditional populations.
How did you test this theory?
Basically, what we did is we had a group of mice that we colonized with a human microbiota. And then we divided those mice into two groups, one that we fed a high fiber diet and the other group that we fed a low fiber diet. And what we found was that the mice on the low fiber diet, the diversity of bacteria in their gut dropped pretty dramatically while they're on the low fiber diet. We bred them for an additional four generations. And what we found was, with each generation, there was a further loss of microbial diversity within the gut of these mice, to the point that by the time we got to the fourth generation, there were quite a few species of bacteria that were now no longer present in the gut of those mice.
What's more, putting the mice back on this high-fiber diet doesn't result in those extinct bacteria species coming back. It looks like once they're gone, they're gone. But is this really a big deal?
We know that an acute drop in diversity, say from taking a round of antibiotics, opens your gut up to the potential that it would get colonized by a pathogenic bacteria. So that's, for example, C. difficile. And actually, one of the most effective treatments for that is a reintroduction of microbial diversity through a fecal transplant. Long term, there's been several studies looking at the microbiota of individuals that are obese or have metabolic syndrome, autoimmune diseases. And in all these cases, their microbiota diversity is much lower than what we see in healthy populations. Now, we don't know if that drop in diversity caused those diseases or is contributing to them, but it does indicate that there's some connection potentially between a low diversity microbiota and many of our Western diseases that are rising so rapidly.
If this does turn out to be a problem, what about those fecal transplants Erica mentioned? This procedure, which involves taking poo from a healthy person and putting it into an ill person to restore their microbiota, is now used in many countries across the world. Tim Spector is the Professor of Genetic Epidemiology at King's College London and the author of The Diet Myth. He's been on the show before to tell us about fecal transplants.
There's usually several ways of doing these transplants. Traditionally, it was through a tube through your nose, where you put up the liquidized poo, essentially, down through the nose into the small intestine. Or you could pass a tube up through your bottom, given as an enema.
If having a poo-filled tube up your bottom or down your nose doesn't sound like your cup of tea, using capsules of frozen specimens could be the solution. There was some debate about whether this would work, but research this week from McMaster's University in Canada has shown the transplants can indeed work after the bacteria has been frozen, as Tim explained.
This was a study of over 200 people, and they randomised them to the frozen samples or the fresh samples, and essentially found no difference between the two methods. So it looks like the good news is that you can store these samples for a long time, as long as you store them well. They seem to be equally effective. And the evidence seems to show that the way in which you give them doesn't matter so much for severe illnesses. So you can give them by tube or by these acid-resistant capsules, which some bright spark has renamed crapsules.
There have been some other, I suppose, worries or concerns about poo transplants because gut bugs have such an impact on our bodies in, as a whole.
Exactly. So as we're discovering that our microbes are essentially key to many of our healthy processes, our immune system, our digestion, our metabolism, whether we get fat or thin, and also increasingly our emotions. So clearly any change you're making to the gut microbe could have other far-reaching consequences. And there are about two case reports now of people who have received these transplants but have ended up putting on a lot of weight afterwards. And turns out that the donor was of above average weight. There's also the other potential worry, which hasn't been shown yet, but in animals you can certainly transmit some mental illnesses, stress and anxiety. So if you check your donors, don't end up as mass murderers or psychopaths, because 10 years down the line you could be causing other problems.
As Erica said earlier, our gut bugs are much less diverse in the West. So could this transfusion be the answer?
A colleague of mine, Jeff Leach, who's co-founder of the American Gut Project, is actually on a personal quest to make himself the most diverse human on the planet. And as I explained in some detail in my book, went to Africa and picked a healthy tribesman, hunter-gatherer type from the Hazdut tribe, and got a donation from him and did a transplant himself using a turkey baster. And he claims that his diversity increased, but he hasn't yet noticed any massive health benefits.
Or I'm imagining any health problems?
Problems. No, exactly. He's a robust Texan, so he's quite tough. But at the moment, most people think he's mad, rather than some people would say he's pioneering. But at the moment, we don't know the side effects of whether a microbe from, say, Africa inside us is going to have the same effects. So what might be great for Africans might actually be harmful for us.
Georgia Mills speaking there to Erica Sonnenberg and King's College London's Tim Spector.